Take your Bibles to Luke 9. Luke chapter 9, we're going to read just a few verses here, starting at verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." I want to just look back at that 26th verse. That will largely constitute the theme that we're going to be dealing with this morning. I'll read it again. "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of his Father and of the holy angels." Connie mentioned this morning that we had taken a little trip. We went down to celebrate Lisa's birthday. We had a nice big celebration up here, as you know, for our daughter Linda, but we didn't want to leave Lisa out of all of that, too. So anyway, we went down, saw the Creation Museum and did a few other things and stopped and saw Lisa. But you know, when we were down there in Kentucky, we were not too many hours away from a certain town, the town of Louisville, Kentucky. Hardly a town, it's a very nice city, actually. And I want you to know that in that city, there is a safe that is unknown to almost everyone. And it's in a hidden place, and inside the safe, there is a note, a handwritten note, that has information on it that is considered so valuable that even though this safe is owned by a certain company, this particular note is not even known as to its location by the president of the company himself. It's that secret. And just to make sure that it is never destroyed, there are a couple of other copies of that note hidden away in secret safe deposit boxes known only to a very small amount of people. Now, you might say, well, what in the world is this anyway? Well, I want to tell you that this secret that is tucked away inside of this note is something that affects about 8 million people every day. You say, well, what could it be? Well, how many of you have ever eaten at a Kentucky Fried Chicken restaurant? KFC now, of course. The original recipe of Mr. Harlan Sanders is written on a handwritten note just the way that he wrote it, and it is hidden away, known only to a very select few people because it has been so successful. Think of that, 8 million people following one man's recipe every day all around the world. Pretty astounding, isn't it? But they've kept it a secret, and I guess I can understand that. But you know, I want to tell you something. We have a message that is far greater than that. Something that will reach all over the world, and it is not a secret. It's something that we want the whole world to know. And we're talking, of course, about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want everyone to know it. We don't want to keep it a secret. We want everybody to hear it. Especially now as we draw closer to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as that day draws closer, we want more people to know because we know that it's going to be harder and harder for people to come to Christ the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus. Now, I want to notice two things with you today. I want to look at two questions with you. Number one, why we need to share our faith with other people. And number two, to just ask the question, why are we so hesitant to do it? I want to just look at those two questions today. Why do we need to share it? And number two, why are we so hesitant to share our faith with others? Let's look at the first question today. Why we need to share our faith in Christ with other people. Number one, we have listed here that we need to share our faith because when we witness our faith to other people, we also strengthen and seal the relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might say, well, I thought that we were saved by faith and that it is a faith union that brings us together with our Lord. Certainly that is true. But I remind you of the words of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, which says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips and so is saved. The implication is that belief in Jesus Christ, now that is certainly the way of salvation, that we also need to share our faith with our own lips, out of our own mouths. The verbal affirmation of the message seals and confirms, even in our own minds and in our own hearts, the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people who do not enjoy the relationship with Jesus Christ because they never verbalize it. It's like they're afraid to tell anybody about him or about the gospel or about anything related to their faith. And as a result, their faith is rather empty, it's rather hollow, it's rather meaningless. It's not something that is strong. It's not something that is being encouraged by their own testimony. You know, I have discovered over the years that the longer I continue to teach the Bible, that the longer I study God's Word, the more often I share that Word, my own faith as far as what the Bible teaches has become stronger and stronger and stronger as the years go by. I can't possibly understand why anybody wouldn't accept the Word of God, especially as I see how carefully it all fits together. The more I share it, the more I am confident of the fact that it is the absolute Word of God and the only means of salvation for anyone in the world today. So, why do we need to share our faith? Well, first of all, because it will strengthen our own relationship with Jesus Christ, even if we are already Christians and have already put our faith in Jesus. Here's the second reason, though, why I believe we need to share our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because Jesus commanded it. He told us to do this. This is not an optional thing for a Christian. This is something that is expected of those who are Christians. In Mark 1:17, we read, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. What was he talking about? He was using the fishing metaphor as an example of a Christian going out and seeking to bring others into the kingdom. Just like a fisherman goes out in his boat or stands along the shore and casts his bait out into the water and does what he can to capture his fish that he's looking for. This is something that we do too, where it's not that we're trying to capture people or try to use people. It's something that we want to do because by drawing them in, we are bringing them into a relationship with God that will bring eternal life. It will bring them into a wonderful kingdom. And of course, the Bible also gives many other examples of the same command. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's not an option. That's expected. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Again, not an option. The Bible even goes so far as to say in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. I love the way that Luke, the writer there, under inspiration, makes that statement. He says, you shall be. If you are a believer, if the Spirit of God is flowing in your life, if you're keeping in step with the Spirit of God, what's going to happen? You are naturally going to share with others the faith that you have. It's not going to be something that's going to be a burden. It's going to be something that you want to do. It's going to come naturally from you. Now ask yourself this question, is that the way it is in your life or not? Do you naturally just want to share what you know about Jesus? And you think, well, I don't know, I want not sure that I want to do something like that. Well, we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But you see, when you know Jesus and you want to share with other people, that's something that's flowing out of your heart. That's what you should expect. That is normal Christianity. That's not some abnormality. This is the real thing. And Christians should be eager to share. You know, as somebody has well reminded us, when a command is given, you can either obey it or you can disobey it. But as Christians, we should want to obey the command. And the command is, tell everybody, everywhere in the world. A third reason why we should share our faith in Jesus Christ, however, is because God left Christians like you and me here in this world in order to carry out his plan for the world. And what is that plan? It is to bring the gospel to the entire world so that a people that God has chosen will be brought to him and enjoy eternal salvation. Now, it's not our job to know who God is going to save. We can't possibly figure that out. All we need to do is what? We need to be faithful. We need to be diligent about the task that God has given us. Story is told by a man that I heard speak on several occasions, both in person and also in public. His name is John Riesinger. And I remember him telling the story about something from his own life. He told me this over dinner while we were out at Gull Lake Bible Conference here. And he had been speaking there, and he told this amazing story. He said at one time he had been flying while he was in the military. And he flew with another gentleman, and this is a time of war when they were flying. And they flew together, and you know how it is. Some of you who have been in the military know that people who have served together in the military, a lot of times, even when their time of service is over with, there's still a bond there. There's still a fellowship there. And sometimes these folks want to get back together again and just see each other. Well, that's what happened. After the war was over, they both survived the war. They went on about their business, but decided after a few years to get back together. John met his old friend, and the friend said to him, John, you know, I wanted to tell you that since I've seen you last, something wonderful has happened to me. And John said, well, what's that? He said, I've become a Christian. Oh, he said, well, that's wonderful. He said, tell me, John, are you a Christian? And he said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I am. Oh, he said, I'm glad to hear that. He said, tell me, John, how long have you been a Christian? Oh, John said, for a lot of years now. Now the man looked a little puzzled. He said, now, just a moment, he said, you mean to tell me that when we were flying in that airplane over enemy territory, when we could have been shot down and we both could have been killed, and I could have died as a non-Christian and died and gone to hell and suffered eternally, you knew all about Jesus Christ and were already a Christian then, and you never even told me about him? John kind of had to hang his head in shame. Now, to John's credit, I want to tell you that as the years went on, of course, he has told many people about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was one occasion that he didn't. Actually, several occasions in the flights that they had. But it's a good reminder, and John told this not to just put himself down or anything like that. He told the story to encourage all of us to be faithful to the task. We don't know how long we have to live. We don't know how quickly our lives are going to be over. We don't know what's going to happen to any one of us from day to day. It could happen so quickly. I mean, my mother is in the hospital right now having, you know, gallbladder out. And you say, well, that's not the greatest possible dangerous surgery in the world. Maybe not. Well, some might differ with that. But, you know, the fact is, when I talked to her last Sunday, she seemed perfectly fine. We talked about a number of different things. As I took her home Sunday night, we chatted on a couple of different things and just talked, and she seemed in perfectly good health. Imagine just a few days later, I get a phone call, she's in the hospital. How does that happen? Well, that's life. Life goes by so quickly, and you know, we don't know from one day to the next what our life is going to be. And so we need to constantly keep in mind that we need to be faithful about the task. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, but how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to bear witness without a preacher? And how can man preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. We need to do that. We need to share the gospel with everyone that we meet. A fourth reason why sharing our faith is so important is because witnessing for Christ demonstrates our love for other people. Jesus Christ, when he was here on earth, in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus put his desires for all people to come to him so clearly that we cannot avoid the message. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You know, just think, some of you who are connected with the farming business, just think if one year you had such a huge crop and you didn't have enough people to hardly bring it in. You say, well, that would be nice. I know there's other problems, too. Sometimes you can have such a huge crop and you don't know where to store it. I've heard of that recently, too, for some folks. But, you know, you think about that. Just think if there was such a big crop and you didn't have enough workers out there to bring it all in. You can imagine what that would be like in Jesus' day. They didn't have all the tractors and all of the equipment that people have nowadays. But Jesus is saying, look, laborers are the thing that is needed. He didn't say professional leaders. He didn't say preachers only. He didn't say only those who are funded missionaries. Nothing wrong with any one of those groups. But he said, we need laborers. We need people who are going out into the harvest fields of life to bring people in. I remind you again, we can't save anybody, but you know, God can use us to bring people in. There's a great reminder, too, that there's a fifth reason why we need to share our faith, and that is because sharing our faith is really the outgrowth of Jesus Christ alive and at work in us. You all know the story about John 15, about the vine and the branches. What happens when these are together? When the vine and the branches are united? If it's a healthy branch, you can expect what? That there's going to be fruit that is going to be born. And Jesus, of course, when he went back to heaven at the time of his ascension, this is what he said, "You shall be my witnesses." It's definitely going to happen. It will be a natural outcome of the Spirit of God living in you. We're joined to him, therefore it's going to flow out of us, and we're going to want everybody to know about Jesus. That raises a second question today, though, and that is this. Why are we so hesitant to do it? Well, number one, I've often heard this one. People say, well, I don't know enough to be able to do it. Well, my friends, let me ask you a question. How much do you need to know? Are you a Christian today yourself? You say, well, yes, I am. Well, if you know enough to be one yourself, then you ought to be able to know enough to be able to tell somebody else about how to be one. Isn't that reasonable? It would seem like it to me. If we know enough about Jesus, we ought to be able to tell other people to how they can come to have salvation too. This is not some magical thing. This isn't something that only a very select few people with the highest possible training level could possibly do this. No, I mean, think about the people that Jesus used to spread the gospel. Right at the beginning, he took ordinary folks and he taught them things, and then he said, now go and share. And these were ordinary people in so many different ways. They came from all different backgrounds. Some of them were tent makers. Some of them were farmers. Some of them were fishermen. They all had their respective callings. But you know what? They knew enough about how to tell people to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, if you have a story to tell at all, if you can say with confidence today, I am a Christian, then why are you not able to share what you know with others? Anybody can tell people this. I'm a sinner, and so are you and everyone else. And we need a Savior. And the only way that we're going to ever be saved and have eternal life is what? To receive Jesus Christ, to ask him to come into our life. Not only to forgive our sins, but to take over our life. There it is, in just a matter of a few words there. That is the gospel. Cannot we share that with others who do not know him? But then there's that second one that people often give too. They say, well, you know, I don't want to offend anyone. I'm afraid that I might offend somebody. Well, I think that we can be thoughtful. I think we can be kind. I think we can try to be careful. I think we can speak the truth in love, as the Bible says. However, it's important that we nevertheless that we speak it. We can do everything possible to try to make this as understandable and as clear and as carefully as we possibly can. But you know what? Even in spite of all of your best efforts, even with the help of the Holy Spirit working in your heart, you are still going to offend some people. Why is that? Because people don't want to hear about the fact that they are sinners. They don't want to hear about that one day God is going to hold them accountable for their life. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to think about that. They want to ignore that. One of your friends had a very serious disease, and you knew that there was a cure for that disease. Wouldn't you tell them about it? Would you say, well, I don't want to offend them. They might be offended if I tell them that, you know, they're really sick. Sometimes people even do that when they go to their doctors. They don't want to hear the truth about their real condition. They're hoping for something that's less than the truth. My friends, when you think about that, does that make any sense? If you're really sick, you want to know the truth. You want to know what can be done, if there is anything. And you know, we need to do that too. Jesus was the finest explainer of the gospel that anyone ever had in this world. He was the greatest evangelist of all times. Yes, even greater than Billy Graham. Jesus was, of course, the greatest Bible teacher that ever lived. He knew the Old Testament better than any preacher that you have ever heard. He is the embodiment of the Old Testament. He is what the New Testament is all about. There was no one like him. And yet, as wonderfully as Jesus taught the Word of God and instructed others, and with all the stories and all the parables and all the different tools that he used, you know what? He still offended people sometimes. But isn't it a lot better to risk possible offense than to never share the Word of God with them at all? Isn't it better to share? I mean, do you really care ultimately in the eternal scheme of things what they think about you? Is that the biggest question? Well, what are they going to think of me? They're going to be offended. They're not going to like me. And it's vitally important that everybody like me. I got news for you. Not everybody likes you, and they never will. We all have people that don't like us. The best thing that we can do is walk in love, but also tell people the truth because they need to hear it. Without the gospel, if people don't hear, how can they believe? We just heard that in the book of Romans, the scripture that we read there. There is another thing too, and that is the matter of shame. Some people are actually ashamed to share the gospel. And the reason for that, of course, is because they look at their lives and they say, well, you know, here I am as a Christian and I'm trying to share with other people. And you know, I'm such a poor Christian compared to so many other people out there. You know, my life has been so less than perfect, and, you know, I've had so many failures and shortcomings and all of this. How could I ever be used? Well, I'm sure glad that none of the apostles of Jesus Christ were like that. Or were they? You think about this fellow Peter. I like Peter. Warren Wiersbe calls Peter the apostle with a foot-shaped mouth. He was always putting his foot in his mouth somewhere. But you know what? Think about the things that this guy did. If Peter were applying for a job as a pastor in a local church today, and you read on his resume, this man, you know, was in jail one time, but he escaped in the middle of the night. Said an angel took him out. Would you believe that? You look at this guy and you heard this man publicly denied in front of a large group of people that he doesn't know Jesus, let alone faithfully preach him. Is that the kind of guy you'd want? Well, how about a guy that's able to take a knife out of his pocket and chop off a guy's ear? He'd make a great preacher, wouldn't he? You'd like to have him as pastor of your church, wouldn't you? You know, you look at these guys' lives, and I'm not condoning any of these things. All I'm saying is there are no perfect people. God doesn't use perfect people to share the gospel because there are none. Nobody's perfect. But you know what? That's not an excuse. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of every nation. Teach them all the things that I've taught you. And so the option is not an option. It's a command. It's an instruction. You think back to the scripture that we read at the very beginning, that 26th verse. Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in glory and the glory of his Father and the holy angels. How do you want to appear before Jesus someday when he comes again? When you see him face to face, when you stand before him, do you want to be ashamed of the fact that you never did anything to carry out the great commission that he gave you and he gave to me? Somebody might say, well, I gave some money for that. Well, that's good. But, you know, Jesus never in the great commission anywhere that I read said, go into all the world and give a few bucks to the missionaries. And you fulfilled my great commission. He said, no, go make disciples. Now, there's nothing wrong with supporting missions. You know we believe in it. Nothing wrong with supporting local churches. We believe in it. But you know what? God wants us to do a lot more than that. We are all part of the solution that the world needs. We look at the news from day to day and we say, oh, what is happening to our country? You hear reports like Linda gave just a few weeks ago where it says that among young people today, only 4% of the people in the United States who are teenagers, only 4% of them know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Wow. That means that those who do know him are very, very special people. Why? Because they have come to embrace Christ even when others have not. And what's more, they are part of the next generation that is going to have to pass along the faith to those that are still coming. The Apostle Paul certainly had not a perfect life. And yet, after he came to know the Lord, he entrusted his life to the Lord fully and did everything he can to live for him. Did he always do it perfectly? He said, oh no. You look at his record there and as how he writes about himself in Romans chapter 7 and so forth. Some people say, well, that was before conversion. I'm not convinced of that. I think Romans chapter 7 is talking about as Paul as a Christian with struggles of trying to live for God perfectly in keeping with the law, but by nature can't do it. Without God's help, couldn't do it. We find the Apostle Paul, in spite of all of his failures and all of his past and everything else, what did he say? I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. It's what works. What do you want? Something that doesn't work? You say, well, no, I don't want that. You want to have a way to have eternal life? You want to have a way to be in heaven with God? You want to live in a world that is far better than this one will ever be? Beyond your wildest imaginations, you say, of course I want to be there. Well, of course, other people want to be there too. But you know what? They'll never get there. Unless what? Somebody tells them the way. Somebody shows them how. Somebody shows the need of the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We need to be courageous, considerate, Christ-honoring, but above all, we need to be sharing the good news with others. How will they believe if no one ever tells them about Christ? It's the only way that works. We dedicated these Bibles this morning. Why is that so vitally important? I'll tell you why. We were reading from many portions of Scripture today, and I thought of one other one that I always love. I quote it quite often here, actually. It's from the book of 1 Peter. And it says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord abides forever. Look at the creation right now. What's happening to the trees? You say, oh, they're turning these beautiful colors. Yes, but then what? Then the leaves are falling to the ground. Things are constantly changing all the time. Everything in nature changes. Oh, there's a rhythm to it. There's a pattern to it because God controls it. But you know what? There's one thing that stays the same. Generation after generation, I don't care what political party's in control in Washington, I don't care anything about that as far as what the future of the world is like. As far as the future that really matters, it's what? It's what the Word of God says. This book will not fail. It will not fail. We were reminded of that again this past week. We were down in Cincinnati, and we went to the little town of Florence there where they have the Creation Museum there, and we saw so many of the evidences again to point to the fact that even Genesis 1 through 11 is totally accurate in everything that it teaches. You say, you really mean you believe all that? I do. I do, because the more you look at the evidence, even the evidence in the creation itself, we see that the Word of God is right on. I tell you, Christians have the answer. Why would we lock it away in some safe or in some safe deposit box somewhere? Why wouldn't we want to get it out for everyone to hear, for everyone to know? Let's bow in prayer now. Father in heaven, you have called us to be your witnesses. Help us to do that. Lord, we are not perfect witnesses. We know that. We are not perfect people. We know that too. We are all sinners, but Lord, we also know that you are a mighty Savior, and you are the eternal life giver, and you are the one that is able, not only able to do, but is the one who makes salvation a reality in our life. Lord, long before we ever called on you, your great work in our life is what makes all of this able to be accomplished. And so, Lord God, if there are people here today who don't know the Lord, I pray that they will listen to this message. There's only one way. The Bible is clear, and God's authority is never in question. And Lord, if we are here and we know the one way, and we know Jesus, help us to be faithful to tell everyone we meet about him as well. Lord, this is our task until Jesus comes again. There is no higher calling that you have given to the church, with the possible exception of the fact that we are to worship you. Lord, there's nothing higher than that, to be able to worship the Lord. But Lord God, what a great privilege to be involved not only in worship, but also in witness for Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Hear our prayer now, and we pray these things, asking it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.